In 1970, at the height of the football revenge film craze, Mikey Smash and William Mouth both portrayed the football cannibal Smash Mouth in the cult hit Film 2. The film's influence on a small number of horror legends was immeasurable. Some even say it was Andy Warhol's favorite movie. After a portion of the film was lost and the ownership rights were called into question, End Zone 2 simply disappeared. Now, 50 years later, Smash Blender Films is reviving the franchise.
We're doing a reboot sequel of the movie End Zone 2, and it's gonna be called End Zone.
With the pending casting announcement at Mad Monster Party, rivals Mikey and William will each do anything to reclaim their iconic role. They are joined by their reluctant assistant, AJ.
Pick up that bag. I don't want those wheels to wear out.
Mikey, William, and AJ must battle clowns, law enforcement, and holographic technology to find out who will be crowned the once and future Smash. The once and future Smash.
Oh, I'll do that on that.
Hey!
Hey! All right, we're live here at the Without Your Head update for Once in Future Smash and End Zone 2 Kickstarter. I'm Nasty Neil.
I am Michael J. Epstein.
I'm Sophia Cassiola. Smash Mouth is chilling behind us.
Very cool. Very
touchdown.
Good.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Yeah, we just wanted to. I think we wanted to just kind of go live and talk about the first. Now we're about two days into our Kickstarter.
Time.
Hello to Pepe, right? Saying hi to us.
Hello.
Yeah, Pepe Petit. Hello, Pepe.
Yeah, we're really psyched because we've just been doing this for 2 days. Thank you, Jason. And we've already surpassed our initial goal of $10,000, which is really amazing. The campaign was designed at a minimum to make it so that we could release Blu-ray physical media versions of the movies, because it's expensive to make Blu-rays and VHS and novels. So we wanted to run this campaign with that kind of minimum modest goal to be able to achieve that. And we're very excited that the first 2 days we blew right through that goal. And now we're just doing the next part of the campaign, which is essentially, we kind of did this backwards to give people context. Most people run a campaign to raise money to make their movie. Instead, we made the movie and went into a lot of debt. And then now we're finished with the movie and we're trying to raise the money to pay for the movie retroactively, I guess is the way I would say it. So now we've covered the part that's the, you know, that first phase. Right. And now we're just trying to kind of cover production costs and cover some.
Well, I do think it's important to, you know, let people know, because like you said, 36 hours you hit the initial goal of 10,000. So I don't want people to think, oh, you know, they've got everything covered.
No, that's exactly right. That's why I'm saying it. It's like, this is great. This means we get to make Blu-rays. I'm like very, very happy.
Which we
about
wanted
that.
To do, especially for this project, even more so than other projects, because I feel like this style of movie and everything really lends itself to having a Blu-ray and having a VHS. And so we're really excited to be able to do physical media at all, because without this campaign, we wouldn't even consider it. It would just be only streaming. So this made that all possible for sure. But yeah, it's not over. We have a whole month that people can pre-order their Blu-ray and get VHS and the novelization. And a lot of that stuff isn't going to be available for that long after this. You know, we're not making tons and tons of extras. So this is pretty much the one guaranteed way to get it. And then after that, you're on your own.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited because, like you said, we didn't even know if there would be a physical release. And then now there definitely will be. And there's not only that it's cool that people have the movie, but there's a lot of like cool extra stuff that I know we've recorded over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And still recording.
Still a recording.
We are. Yeah. I had Anastasia Elfman and Leanne O'Shea over today, and we did some interviews that I'm going to actually cut in with Neil recorded tons and tons. I think like 30 hours of behind the scenes footage when we were shooting End Zone 2, spoiler alert. And so I'm going to cut in some of that footage and some, I have tons of photos that AJ took. So I'm really excited to put that together and let them talk about their experience, because the first 2 years, 3 years of this project, they weren't allowed to say that they were involved because we were doing the kayfabe of it being a 1970 film. So it was really awesome of them to be, you know, supportive of that whole concept. I mean, they were told up front, but now we get to give them their due a little bit. And so it was like really fun even just to reminisce a little bit. It's like, we shot that in 2019, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Long ago now. That's
almost so. 4 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to hunt down the rest of the cast and try to get them involved as well so I can get that. And that will be extra on the Blu-ray. So, you know, at least initially, that'll be the only place to get this documentary. Eventually, it'll probably be a little wider. We did a commentary track with Bill Whedon and Michael St. Michaels and AJ Cutler for the Once in Future Smash. We all did a producer's commentary for it as well. So those things, again, will only be on the Blu-ray. So,
yep.
Just a real little quick story was, you mentioned I did a BTS behind the scenes. And initially when you asked if I would do BTS, I didn't even know what that meant. And I was just like, yeah, absolutely. And then I had to go look up what BTS was. And I was like, oh, okay, that's. It's not something horrible or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug McCormick. Thank you for your comment there. How do we stay so patient? We're very impatient, but
It's been tough.
You know, the path is, I mean, to talk about this, I think it's interesting because we're trying to be as transparent as possible. We thought about this. Usually people don't talk about the money or costs or any of that kind of stuff when they release their movies. They're just like, oh, we made a movie, you know, buy it, whatever. But we really wanted to just be as open and transparent as possible about the whole process of making the movie, the process of releasing the movie, everything about it. And so, you know, we've been talking about the budget on the Kickstarter campaign. We've been talking about, you know, how much we need to raise to break even on that budget. And we've been talking about the conversations that we've had with distributors, because the movies did quite, as far as we're concerned, did quite well at festivals this past year and a half now.
A lot of great press, a lot of great reviews,
a lot of enthusiasm, even from distributors who are quite interested in putting out the movies. But, you know, we live in a time where the value of art in general and the value of film especially has been declining and declining and declining. And it's this sort of race to the bottom where it's like every streaming service is like, okay, for $5.99 a month, we're going to give you access to 10,000
movies.
Billions
of dollars worth of content. Right. Yeah,
right. So there's no money. I mean, I understand on their end, they're trying to give as much for as little as possible. And so they don't have that much money to be paying out to filmmakers and such. And that's really hit the bottom line for independent artists. And there are very few platforms where we get paid much at all. I always talk about how on places like Amazon Prime, where, you know, people are often watching movies, we get paid about 1 cent an hour for a stream. So if you watch, you know, if you watch both of our movies, we're getting something like 2 cents. That's not really, you know, you can imagine that's not really a sustainable,
and, you know, and I pointed out to Michael at one point where, you know, cause we came from music. If you stream our song on Spotify, we make more money than we do if you watch a whole movie.
Yeah.
And it costs me a lot less money to record one song than to make a 90-minute movie. So
yeah, we make about half a cent a stream on Spotify for one song.
Two songs.
So like 3 minutes, you know, 3 minutes of streaming, about half a cent for a much cheaper endeavor than a movie. Yeah. And people complain about Spotify. So, you know, like everybody's mad about Spotify. Trust me, it's much worse in film. Like Spotify is great compared to film. So
I remember, that long ago, people actually, like Amazon streaming was like the favorite of independent.
Yeah, well, when it came out, the rate was like 20 cents or something.
Yeah, it was 16 an hour.
And, you know, if you got a lot of streams, that added up. And now it's like down to like half a cent or something crazy. Yeah. Like it's like nothing. So, you know, as with everything, and I'm worried about this with Tubi as well, to get into like the weeds of distro a little bit, because Tubi became the favorite because they were paying pretty decently because it's ad based. So they have, you know, data on like how the ads are doing. And I'm worried that they're just going to drop rates because like why? In their perspective, like why keep paying it out when you can just keep it?
Yeah.
Like,
you know? Or cutting independent content in favor of their studio content.
And like they got a lot of studio content because they realize, you know, they might as well throw their movies up there too if they're paying well. And so, you know, the indies kind of disappear off the feed a little bit, you know, and then we make less and less.
But that's
so
why we're trying to be transparent about
crazy weeds. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're doing our best to be able to make back the cost of this movie. And then, you know, if we do that, then we can make another movie, you know, and that's the ultimate goal, is to keep being able to create, yeah, right, which is so difficult, you know?
Right. And that's why we say, you know, that's why we're doing this campaign, you know, partly, yeah, again, at the minimum, it pays for that physical media, which we're all fans of, I know. And lots of other people are big fans of. And without having that backing, none of the distributors who we talked to would ever have put this out on Blu-ray. It just would never have happened. We would never have a Blu-ray release. And now our goal is to kind of think about how we can piece together covering the budget of the whole movie. So that's going to be a mixture of many, many different things. But the Kickstarter campaign is like the first stage of that. So as much as we can cover of the budget, that helps us, you know, break even and be able to make another movie, be able to start paying additional royalties to, you know, all the right people involved who yeah, get money.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's what all our SAG actors want, their residuals.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to pay everybody. I want everybody to make money.
I want everybody to get checks. Like, I'd love to make millions and just pay it out. Like, yeah, that would make me so happy. Yeah. But back to Doug's initial question too, is like, we had to be patient with this film because we shot the film within the film in December of 2019. We shot like a third of the film in February of 2020. And
like literally like a week or two before things were shut down.
Yeah. Like whispers of like COVID were like going around, you know, and we're in crowds at this convention filming. So, you know, then everything shut down. We didn't know what we were going to do for 2 years, you know, and like we had sent all the raw footage of the convention to the editor, Aaron. And, you know, he put it together and I was like, we don't have a movie. And we're like, we know there's so much more that we know we need to film.
The original idea was we were going to go to other conventions and film more of the talking head segments, we call them, you know, with the horror legends. And then you couldn't go to conventions, and the couple that started to pop up, it probably wasn't like a wise idea to do that.
No comment there, but yeah.
It's true. Yeah, because it was very real for a long time. So we only got back to shooting after everybody was vaccinated initially. And, you know, we were doing testing and stuff to get back into filming, you know, some of the more bits and then more of the interviews and stuff. So it took a while to get back into the project. And to the point where, like, literally, I was like, do you want to just release End Zone 2? Just, like, sneak it out there and see what happens? You know, because we were sitting on that. That was finished for years, you know? And I couldn't convince Michael to do it, which is probably good. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But for a minute there, during the depths of the pandemic, we're like, are we ever going to finish this? Or is this just dead in the water?
Right.
You know?
So anyway, this Kickstarter campaign is our kind of launch of the release of it. We finally, we had the conversations with distributors for a year and a half. We did really well at festivals. We thought somebody would come forward and offer us, you know, essentially we were asking for 60 grand from distributors, and I wanted a
for
physical
two movies,
for,
you know?
For two movies and a physical. We wanted them to do a physical media release as well. And nobody could step up and offer that to us. So we thought, you know, the best thing to do is go direct to our audience, ask for a little bit of help, at least to get the physical out, and then whatever, you know, support we can receive beyond that, and then release the movies and hopefully recoup as much of the money as possible while also making sure that the movies are available to everybody on as many platforms as possible.
You talk about doing well at the festivals. I mean, a lot of the people who donate now have seen it at the festival, them at the festivals, or have heard of them through the festivals.
Absolutely. You know, we toured, I mean, the farthest place we went was Fright Fest in London. We all went. But, you know, we toured the U.S. with it a little bit at the fest.
The farthest place that we physically went.
The movie went to South Africa, France, and Italy, and all sorts of, you know, multiple British screenings have happened.
Yeah.
So we were really delighted with how well it did and how well it's been received.
Yeah. And so we believe in the movies too much to just give them to a distributor and let them, like, do nothing with it, basically, and not do a proper physical media release. And that's what brings us here. That's why we're here doing this. And I see, like, in the comments, you know, some Doug McCormick said something about this comes up with Bandcamp as well, that Bandcamp is, you know, one of the only places left for musicians to kind of sell stuff. And they just got sold to a new company, and musicians are scared about, like, what the changes are going to look like there. I agree. You know, Jack Russell mentioned that the Full Moon Features and Charles Band stuff is on Tubi. All the studios are going to Tubi because it's everything is like becoming AVOD, which is ad-based video on demand. We're moving backward in time to where everything is like watching TV with ads on it again.
We got away from you know what? Like initially when you know, streaming came out, and I was like, oh, it's so great, it doesn't have commercials, but now I'm so addicted to checking my phone, I honestly don't even mind commercials anymore.
Yeah, I agree, honestly. It gives me a little break to check my Facebook or whatever.
Some movies, depends on the movie that I want.
Because it can definitely take, especially if there's no, like, I love Tubi, but sometimes there's no thought, I think, to where the ads are. It'd be like a very bad part of the movie.
Mid crying scene or something. Yeah.
And everybody's watching, I know that we're streaming on a bunch of different channels, but we see all the comments from everywhere all at once. So if you have questions, feel free to ask anywhere. I think if you post like on any of our Facebook or YouTube, you will see it. Feel free to ask us questions. We're here to answer questions and talk about this. Doug again asked us, how will the physical release come with a digital download? And the answer to that is, in the Kickstarter campaign that we've got going on right now, everybody who purchases any physical version of it also will receive a digital download. So the way we're structuring this is, as soon as we have the movie finished, which is going to be probably in a month or so, we'll give everybody a kind of a 1 week, like, quote unquote, rental, like a free rental window where they get to watch it. And then when the movie is finally fully released on video on demand, which I'm guessing will be about April or May at this point, we will give them a code to get a free download of it, so they can actually download the movie. So if you purchase anything through our, you know, up at a tier of like, I think $15 and above, you will get the digital version of the movie. If you go buy the Blu-ray later down the road after the Kickstarter, it won't come with a digital version. I think it's nice to do that. It just logistically becomes complicated. But in the Kickstarter campaign, definitely we'll send it out. If somebody down the road, you know, bought the movie on Blu-ray and like really wants a digital download, I'm sure we could work that out for them. But yeah, it won't be formally done that way. That's just a logistics.
So you might receive the Blu-ray before you get the download, even.
You probably get the download before the Blu-ray.
we'll see how the mill runs.
Right.
Timing is crazy.
If you run a toy line, I would definitely be open to talking to any toy makers about doing a Smash Mouth toy. I think that would be so cool.
We thought about doing a bunch of different kind of rewards on this campaign too. Like Neil, one of the things we're doing is that maybe you can pop up one of these cards. But Neil's doing a trading card, a digital trading card series for everybody who backs the movie. And it's really cool. He's doing really great work with that. And we talked about doing actual like printed versions of it. We looked into it. It just ends up being too expensive. We thought about selling, you know, t-shirts through this, and we already have t-shirts available on Amazon and Redbubble for the movies.
We'll probably add a couple more too, because we just made a new poster. We made like a Home Alone spoof poster for the campaign. So we'll probably add that.
Yeah. So we thought about doing all these things, but we wanted to keep our Kickstarter campaign as simple as possible, as straightforward as possible. So we don't have too many, you know, complicated, crazy rewards or anything like that. But yeah, I would love to do action figures if it made sense. All these are financial questions, because we're all nerds about all this kind of stuff. I mean, Neil has a backdrop there with a bunch of like figures and collectible stuff, right? So you obviously are into it. We're into it.
If somebody wants to pitch me, I'm open.
Yeah, no, we're definitely down for it. It's just a matter of money. It's a matter of money.
Fulton actually sent me this just like last week. And
oh, cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're very fun. But so, you know, so even something like that would be fun.
They're cool
because they're blind packaged, so you don't know who you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. A friend of mine told me, I don't know, I don't want to reveal too much because I don't know if he finished it or not, but he told me he bought a starting lineup football player with a yellow uniform then was going to paint it, like Smash Mouth, was going to do a custom self-made, which is awesome. If anybody does stuff like that, we'd love to see it. Obviously, that's amazing. We love it. Yeah. Jason Horton's asking, is the release version going to be different from Fest? That is a great question, Jason. The answer to that is yes, the release version will be different from Fest. Not that big a difference. We are fine tuning some jokes in it.
Yeah. So we got to see it with like, I don't know, 20, 30 audiences. And so there's a few things that I feel like didn't quite land or weren't quite clear. And so there's a few things I just want to punch up a little bit. Like, I don't think we're actually removing any of them. we're just like adjusting like the audio of it or the visual of it, so it like is a little bit more clear that they're jokes. And we're also hoping to do
maybe we'll have a couple more interviews that are going in to cover a couple things. We'll see on that, but I think
a couple more will be happening.
Yeah. Hopefully,
and we have one shot already. So the End Zone 2 script was written by a friend of ours, Brian Smith, and so I did a little interview with him as himself in 1970, writing the script, and you know, just like Joe Castro's in the chat, and he did the mask for Smash Mouth. And
amazing job in the mask, Joe.
Oh my God, we get so many compliments on this mask, which are all due to Joe's incredible work.
In the back, you can see the face deep in the background.
But you know, we included him in Once in Future Smash as the creator of the mask in 1970. So you know, I wanted to do a little bit more of that and just make sure everybody got credit for what they did.
Yeah. We're trying to give everybody, you know, as much love as we can, all the people who are believed in this weird project and participated in it.
So I definitely, you know, we definitely have that. And then we're also going to do a few more of the quote unquote talking head interviews, just to fill in some blanks and for our own amusement.
And then there's some sound mix work, you know, finishing up the cleanup. There's some sound mix work that we're going to be doing that we always knew we had to go back and revisit some sound mix work and fix some things. And so that's on the table to do. And one of our Kickstarter rewards actually is to participate by giving your voice in a crowd scene that we need to recreate, kind of like the background elements from scratch. We don't really have good, the way we recorded it, we have good audio of the actual people talking, but not really the background. So we're gonna just recreate that background and allow people to participate and assign them kind of like audience lines to shout out.
That's very fun.
So if you go to our campaign, that's one of the options that you can sign up for that and be part of it and get a credit in the movie because, lots of people asked when we were starting to run the campaign, they said, oh, do you have any rewards where I can act in the movie or do stuff? Because I know a lot of campaigns offer that. And we don't really have anything like that that we could offer. But then we thought about it and we're like, well, we need to redo this crowd scene. So that gives an opportunity to actually participate in the movie, do a little bit of, you know, a touch of acting. Delivering a line or two.
Yeah, you can heckle me.
You can heckle, exactly. Yeah. And then you get an acting credit in it as well. So that's gonna be really cool.
Kai Spires might like that.
And Joe Castro asked,
Castro.
That's awesome. I love it. Is, yeah. The Joe Castro asked if there'll be any more convention screenings of the movie. Right now, we have a couple of more festivals that we're waiting on to see, you know, if they're going to screen it. We don't know yet, but we're hoping that they might. So there might be a few more early next year. It's kind of quiet season right now.
We're waiting on a couple more, but not many. And, pretty much we're almost done, I think.
Yeah, and then we're thinking about conventions when the movie's actually out and we can sell Blu-rays and stuff. We're thinking about maybe doing conventions as well, but we don't have a solid plan.
And same thing with like theaters, because, you know, we've talked to a few theaters about doing a double feature screening. And so that would be nice to do once we have Blu-rays and we can go travel to them. And so that might be in the future as well. So, you know, if you're in a town that wants to organize that, you can always reach out to us and we can try to figure that out next fall.
I know I've you know, a lot of friends from conventions. If they're interested, they can contact me.
Sure. We're down to do stuff. We're down to team up with people and do whatever, you know, whatever people can offer, like we're in. I see Doug McCormick said the eyelashes on Smash Mouth are hypnotic and gnarly. Yeah. Again, Joe's work is fantastic all around. Yes. Every which way, the hair on the face. I mean, there's a lot of like subtle detail that you might not even notice.
Beard, but
really beautiful work by Joe.
I like this question about the money over no object, about the closing credits that's up now.
Yeah.
Aaron Brokus, when he cut the movie, put in put in Chumbawamba.
That's not in the closing credits.
No, but it's in the movie, and I absolutely would buy
for that scene.
Thumping.
I remember the scene with it. Yeah,
it was so incredible. We actually did find a great replacement for it by a New Hampshire band called Goddamn Draculas,
which is also a great band name.
Yeah, the Goddamn Draculas is so good. So we were able to license a song from them that did fit very well. So we were able to replace it, but it was so funny with Chumbawamba in it. Too.
In terms of closing credits, though, I want to say that we have a song in the closing credits that's a unique, an original song created associated with the kind of the story of End Zone 2, and I'm very psyched to have that in the credits. I would not want to take that out of the credits. Our friend Nick Zeno wrote that song. He created that song and performed it. It was a weird situation because, Neil, I know you're a fan of this as well, but I love the like weird ballad folk song at the end of the horror movie.
Well, last night we were talking about we had a Buddy Cooper on, the director of Mutilator, and I played Fall Break, and I was like, this is you know, inspiration for the music.
Yeah, Fall Break is awesome. I love that. Yeah. I love the
ballad of Henry Warden.
That's what I was about to say. My Bloody Valentine one. Yeah. Absolutely a top one. The Madman one.
Yeah.
Top one.
They're a great one.
Yeah. So great songs. And they're like these weird, out of place, like folk kind of ballady songs that just, they're kind of like a little bit sad, but a little bit fun at the end of a weird movie. It's like, anyway, they're awesome. And so our friend Nick Zeno, he posted on Facebook. He's like, oh, I'd love to write a song for a horror movie someday. And I was like, Nick Zeno, you're the perfect person to write this.
We knew him from Boston from doing music. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just had the vibe of like what those guys sound like the Harry Warden song, you know, for example. And I was like, Nick, would you be interested in doing this? And he wrote two possible songs. He was like, I got a couple of ideas. He wrote two possible songs. And they both are in the movie.
Yeah,
they both are in End Zone too. Yeah. And the closing of Smash Mouth, of The Once and Future Smash, is one of the songs
performed by Bill Whedon and Michael St. Michaels.
Where Bill Whedon and Michael St. Michaels do karaoke to it for the beginning of it, and then it goes into the actual song. Yeah. So I would never remove that from the closing credits.
I have a bootleg version of the actual karaoke that they sang. Hopefully I kept it. But.
We have the video of that as well.
They did choose a different song.
So that was cool. Yeah, we considered Halloween Mask.
It comes across great in the movie, and it was amazing to be there in person.
I would love to have a Smash Mouth Halloween mask.
Like one of those 90s plastic ones with like thin
ones. Yeah, I agree. This isn't exactly it, but this
is like that idea. That would be so awesome.
With the elastic on the back.
Yeah. Again, this is all a money question. Like if there were money to do this, or somebody stepped up and wanted to partner with us.
Yeah,
and
Joe,
make
if you've got a hook up for that, let me know. Yeah. It would be fun.
Do we know any masks?
Because I have seen those four independent movies, the old school masks, because they've kind of become popular where people actually put them on their walls and stuff.
Let's look into this.
Like the monster size monster from like the 60s was just a printed garbage bag costume. We could do a printed garbage bag of Smash Mouth.
Yeah, it would be cool. It would be awesome to do that. I would love to do that. Joe says he still has the mold of the face. That would be
we need that for part three.
That's true.
Hold on to that, Joe.
Don't burn it.
No, that would be really cool. Like, that would be really fun. I would love to do something like that. Thank you, Annabelle, for the congrats. We appreciate, you know. So right now, 129 people have backed us. We've made we're at $11,231.
Which is amazing.
Which is incredible. We're two and a half days in, or whatever it is now. That's an incredible outcome from our perspective. We're really.
Do you want to talk about some of the rewards?
We're really moved by that. So thank you all for that. If you want to back us, or if you want to look at the campaign, Neil has the link down at the bottom here. Withoutyourhead.com/touchdown goes right to the Kickstarter page. That's the place to go to check it out.
I was just saying, we should talk about some of the rewards. Like, so if you've seen The Once and Future Smash, you know that like a big plot point is that the last 30 minutes of End Zone 2 is lost. It's never been recovered. And so one of the things for the campaign is that there will be a novelization of End Zone 2 that includes a possible last 30 minutes in the movie.
I'm very excited about this. Yep. I need to find out what happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Everybody wants to know.
Everybody wants to know what happens in that last 30 minutes. So that's like very fun.
And we're not quite finished with the novelization, but I think it's going to be really fun. I was growing up a huge fan of movie novelizations. And in fact, like, I wasn't allowed to see certain movies, but I was allowed. My parents would let me buy the novelization and read it. They were like, "Reading is good. It's okay, you know, like even if it's a horrible graphic thing." All the people are beloved. Thank you, Annabelle. So I was obsessed with them as a kid, and I remember loving with the Gremlins novelization and the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom novelization. And there are a couple of things that made me love them so much. And one of them is that they're very different than the movie experience because I read these first. I read both books before I saw the movie. And then I saw the movie relatively soon after, around the same year. They're very different experiences because they're told, like, when you're reading the Gremlins novel, it's like in the head of Gizmo. It's like, what is Gizmo thinking and feeling? Right. You know, you're getting the experience from the character's perspective. There's sections where like Stripe is thinking about what he's going to do and stuff. And you're like, then you see the movie and you're like, oh, none of that's in this. It doesn't have any of that kind of like depth of character in it. It's just, yeah. I mean, I love Gremlins. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
And then the Indiana Jones one had scenes in it. I remember going up to my parents. I'm like, what does this word severed mean? And they're like, oh, the word is severed. It means like chopped off. And I'm like, oh, severed. And I'm like, oh, there's a statue that has a bunch of severed heads on it. And like, my parents are like, what are you reading? But I remember reading that and thinking like, oh, this is cool and scary. I can't wait to see it. And I saw the movie and they had cut that scene out. Like it's too violent. So they'd cut it out and they don't show it on screen. And I'm like, oh man, so those are two things I love about novelizations, and that we're going to really work to incorporate kind of those elements into the End Zone.
Yes, there might be some.
Yeah. I've listened to some lately since I started listening to audiobooks on Audible and Libby, which does the local public library, and they're very fun. Like some of the ones that really stood out to me were the Rambo 2 and 3, because, you know, the writer who wrote First Blood wrote it in the 70s. And then, like, he wrote the novelizations after the movies were being made. But in his original book, Rambo gets killed.
Yeah.
So the whole story of him explaining, like, how he had to write these novels of his character dying and how he explained it. And he just eventually didn't explain it. He's just alive in the second ones.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because a lot of times those books are written from either the script or from a rough cut of the movie.
Yeah. Because. Like I think the one he wrote for number 3 is from like a rough cut that originally had a guy from Pulp Fiction.
John Travolta?
No. John Travolta was going to be like Rambo's sidekick in part 3, and then it didn't happen.
That's amazing.
It was fascinating. Okay, yeah. I've come around.
I'm in.
Yeah, well, I want to see this version.
In the End Zone 2 novelization, John Travolta is also in it.
Yeah. No, all right. Another reward is going to be the End Zone 2 VHS as to watch as Christopher Nolan intended, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, VHS is probably the perfect format for End Zone 2. We shot it in 4:3 framing, so you don't even lose the widescreen aspect. It's going to look great. So we're really excited to do, you know, the artwork for that. And
well, the experience of the VHS is probably like what that movie, like if I had a memory of watching End Zone 2 as a kid, it would be on VHS, you know, like that's course, what the form would be. So we're trying to recreate that like feeling, you know, by putting it out on VHS.
I think that's a perfect movie for VHS.
Yeah. It's not like a movie shoehorn. Like Sophia said, that's the frame size, you know, that's the thing. It's not like a shoehorned, you know, VHS movie. It's like a movie that belongs on VHS. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Annabelle's leaving. Thank you, Annabelle.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Annabelle, for coming by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have some various producer credits. If you want the IMDb credit and you want to be more involved with the project for us, they're there for you. And so much thank you to the people that already got those.
Yes, awesome. That's huge. And by the way, those producer credits are discounted the first week. Mm. So we're 3 days
raising
into the week
the price
or something.
On you.
You've got a few days left. But if you want to, if you're thinking about picking up a associate producer, or co-producer credit, which are, I think, are very nice credits for, you know, your IMDb page and such.
And you can brag.
You can brag. Yeah, you can not? Be like, I am a producer on this movie. We will be like, hell yeah, you are
a
producer.
Card that says you're a producer.
Yeah, Neil will make you a card that says that. Yeah, it'll be a real thing. It'll be in the credits of the movie, be on IMDb. You can brag. We will heart your posts about it when you're bragging. And those are discounted this week. So those are cost less this week. After the first week, they go up in cost. So if you're thinking about it, now's the time. I always tell people Kickstarter does not collect your money. A lot of other platforms collect your money right away. Kickstarter is a full funding site. So they only collect money if the campaign goes through and it's successful.
Right. Which will be the end of January.
So it'll be the end of January. So you will not have that money like extracted from your life until the end of January.
Hello,
and there's Bill.
Bill
Whedon.
Hello, Mr. Whedon.
One of the stars of Once in Future Smash.
This was very difficult getting in here, but I'm here.
Excellent.
Welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Good to see you.
Good.
Dan Crocker asked us our other best football pictures.
This is very funny because we thought we had the only football double feature. And then on the festival circuit, there's the last Saturday in October.
Third Saturday.
Oh my God, the third Saturday in October. Double feature. Well, I guess it's not double feature. Five and seven are what they made.
One.
Oh my God, I've got all the facts wrong. I think it's the third.
The third one. You watch one and five.
One and five.
Oh, you watch the fifth one first, then you watch the first one.
Right. And then you watch the first one. These movies are hilarious and they're so great. And like one set in like the 90s and one set in the 70s. But they just came out this year. I think they're both available.
They're available now. They're both excellent, really excellent movies. Football, like not the same theme as ours.
Not at all similar to ours, but also not totally dissimilar.
Yeah, it is very odd, very peculiar. Yeah.
And the people who made them are wonderful people. We met them at Panic Fest.
Yeah, they've been on the show.
So. We met them at Panic Fest and they're absolutely fantastic people. I love both films. I thought both films were really wonderful.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. Part five, Bill, part five has Kansas Bowling, your co-star in Psycho Ape series.
Hey,
yeah.
The Kansas Bowling is my co-star in Psycho Ape and Psycho Ape 2 now.
Yeah.
And she's really good in it. I enjoy it. She's the babysitter.
Yep. Yeah. She's great. Awesome. Her and the little girl are really their interaction is so good. And
that's part five.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I was, I like that. I haven't seen the whole thing yet because I got interrupted, but what I saw was, I liked a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my favorite other football picture, I would say.
I know Bill is very excited for the movies to finally come out.
Yes.
Have you been looking forward to the release of the movies, Bill?
No, I don't care. My God, it's my main obsession. No, I'm so delighted. When do you think it'll appear?
This is a great question. Right now on our Kickstarter campaign, it says that the rewards will be delivered in May. We are aiming for sooner than that. We expect the digital version of it, the rental, like when you get a version to watch. If you back it and you get the version to watch, it's a week-long kind of like free rental. We expect that's going to be maybe February. We're targeting. Yeah. We're hoping. And then
for my birthday.
Yeah, we're going to release it for Neil's birthday. And then the physical media is going to take a little longer. We got to work out some things, but by May.
Yeah.
May, okay.
I would love to say April. I'd love to say March, but by May for sure.
Yeah.
Kellen Pembleton, I'm dying to get my Blu-ray of Smash.
Yes, yeah. Kellen, we're going to make sure that happens. And Kellen's also, he's asking if I'm ready for Kurt Russell to warm up my insides.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was something I should post up or what was happening.
It's a private thing between Kellen. A bunch of us are going to see The Thing later tonight.
Oh, excellent.
So we're going to go see The Thing with Kellen later tonight. So not related to this, but yeah. The Thing is a great movie.
Spoiler, it's a good movie.
That Thing is way better than the other thing.
Well, I guess there's three things.
The three things. Yeah. The thing we're seeing is the best of the three, I think.
Yeah. Jack Russell, action star, Bill Whedon.
Yeah.
Where's Jack Russell? Is Jack Russell here?
No. He's in the chat, but he was calling you out as the action star, Bill Whedon.
Oh, he always says action star, Bill Whedon. That's so funny. Jack's great. He's working with me on another project. That's really cool. Well, I'm sorry to hear it won't be immediate, but because I would.
Well, as soon as we get them manufactured, we'll mail them
out. It takes time. Yeah. It all takes time. The Blu-ray plants are very slow. They have like one guy working the machine. he has to hand stamp each one. No, it just takes a while to get it all sorted, and we're shooting bonus features and stuff still, so we're not, and we're making new edits as we mentioned earlier. Like Jason asked about whether this would be a updated version. We're making edits still, and so those edits are going to be done soon, but we're not quite there yet with it. And once those are done, then we'll send it off for Blu-ray duplication, and that will take a couple months. And then we got to ship it.
You know, Michael is posting a lot on Facebook, but one of the things he posted was we're going to have to censor one of Bill's scenes for the wide release. So you have to buy the Blu-ray.
Exactly.
And I guess maybe the digital download will have
the digital download will have it as well. So the version you get from us through the Kickstarter campaign will be the full Monty.
It's very complimentary to Bill, the wide release.
The wide release.
The wide release.
The wide release, yeah.
And then the release that goes on Tubi and YouTube and stuff.
Will be censored.
A very artfully censored version. But the scene is still in it. But
Mike would describe the way it's going to be censored.
It'll be funny. Yeah.
That made me chuckle. It was so
funny. It'll be good. We'll make, like you said, we'll make lemonade out of lemons. Like, we'll make the best censored.
That's the essence of that. I mean, that's a hilarious idea. If you have to censor, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Thanks to Kellen. I'm just replying to the comments. I'll let Neil like throw them up on the screen. But thank you, Kellen, that you said you're proud to see it. Can't wait to see it again. We can't wait for you to see it again. Thank you, Jay, for saying love you guys. We love you too, Jay. You're the best.
It's good to see Jay at the premiere. Jay was at the premiere.
Yeah. Kellen was at the premiere. Jay was at the premiere. Warren, thanks for the Super Bowl halftime show. Yes. Yep. We're gonna be performing live at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, that would be great, Bill and Michael to do their duet again.
A little bit.
Where's that going to be?
That's in our imagination.
Yeah. Maybe on Facebook Live during the Super Bowl. We'll go live.
Whenever you have anything for me to come to, just tell me.
How do you feel about being arrested at the Super Bowl, Bill?
Awesome.
It would be nice to mess.
That probably goes back to the money was no object.
If money was no object, we would.
And if jail was no object.
Love you, Zach. I go now.
We're excited for this to come out. We're excited. I know everybody's been really patient. I know Bill and Michael were waiting for a long time to see the movie.
Yes.
To see the movie in the first place.
And AJ's not here, right?
AJ's not here. No, no.
And Michael isn't here.
Michael's not here. Just you.
Just you.
Is it true that what Michael suggested, that you can only play a Blu-ray on a Blu-ray player?
That is true.
Can you play them on PS5s and Xbox?
Yeah, you can play them on. Yeah.
I must have a player that plays both regular DVDs and Blu-ray.
Yeah, Blu-ray players will play DVDs, but DVD players will not play Blu-rays.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know it, but I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna bug off now.
Thanks for.
Well, good to see you, Bill.
Great to see you, Bill. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for stopping by.
Great, fantastic. I'll talk to you later. Great.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Bye. Bye. Awesome. Kellen, the Chinese screening was so fun.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know what that means, the movie theater, we premiered in Los Angeles at the Chinese theater. It was at Screamfest, at the festival Screamfest, which is the best, LA, best LA festival really at all, but best LA horror festival for sure. We had a great time there. We had a really good audience, really good turnout, and everybody was psyched. And we were very scared. I mean, I don't know if Neil was scared, but I was very scared because a lot of the cast and crew were seeing it for the very first time. So we had all obviously seen the movie, but none of them had seen it. We had a lot of those, like the talking head kind of horror celebrity people.
I was worried for them because they put a lot of trust in me for doing the movie and then trusting you guys, being in the movie. So I really was hoping that they would like it. Obviously I was hoping the cast would like it too, but I kind of thought that they would. And that honestly was one of the best experiences, probably the best experience of any of the screenings we had was the LA screening.
It was.
Because everyone was there for it.
Yeah, it was really nice. And all the people who came out were really nice and they all seemed to really enjoy the movies. So we were very happy about that. It was wonderful to get to share it with some of those people that gave us their trust and their time and everything like that. And really just people that we admired. And I know you've had them on as guests so many. Like we have for anybody who doesn't know who's in the movie, maybe we should go over that. I don't know if I can, I'll look it up so I'm not skipping anybody offhand. But like we just had a wonderful, wonderful group of like talking, in addition to Michael, Bill, AJ and the regular cast and everything. We had, Mark Patton from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Laureen Landon from Maniac Cop, Richard Elfman, who directed Forbidden Zone, one of my favorite movies ever, Mark Torgel from Toxic Avenger, Melanie Kinneman from Friday 5, VC Dupree from Friday 8, Victor Miller, who wrote the original Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
that was a really cool thing because he doesn't do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's fun to see a lot of people we had, like, you don't see pop up in a lot of stuff. So that
He's, I mean, he's not as much an actor, you know, as a writer, right?
Yeah,
so, like, he is very funny.
He should do some more. Yeah,
he should start acting because he had me cracking up.
Sophia flew out.
I was nervous. I had to do that interview myself, and I just didn't even know what I was walking into. But he was so funny.
Yeah,
I need more awards to put him behind me. I know, like Victor Miller.
Yeah, he had the Emmys on there.
Yeah. That was his idea. He wanted to do it. It was great.
He was being funny. I think he was.
Yeah, you know what? He's got him. He should flaunt him.
We got Mark Scheffler from Last House on the Left, who we named our we have a little studio room in our place, and we always joke we call it the Mark Scheffler Lounge because we did his interview there. We've done many interviews there as well. But
and shout out to Mark Scheffler. He knew what year the cards that I made. I showed him, and he knew it was the 1970 Tops football cards.
Awesome. Yeah, Mark is awesome. I love Mark. I hope we get to. I mean, all these people are awesome. I don't want to like single anybody out.
Yeah.
I really do hope we get to work with them all again. But Mark's definitely, you know, somebody we'd love to do more with for sure. Carl Solomon from Tropical Cocktails and various Jim Hosking projects. Yes. He's very funny in this. Adam Marcus, who directed Jason Goes to Hell, wrote and directed Jason Goes to Hell. Texas 3D.
Yep.
He's hilarious in this. He's a great. I think he's also. I mean, I know he does some acting and some theater and stuff, but you don't see him on screen that much in film. Yeah. And he's very funny. I think he needs to be on screen more. Todd Farmer, who wrote Jason X and who wrote Drive Angry, another movie we love.
Great Nicolas Cage.
Movie. Yeah. You know, he kind of had a little interplay with Mark in the movie. He's really funny. John Dugan from Texas Chainsaw, Bill Johnson from Texas 2, Bob Elmore from Texas 2, Lloyd Kaufman from Troma, Claudio Fragasso and Rosella Drudi.
They sent us footage from Italy.
From their cell phone in Italy. All the way from Italy. Yeah, they're hilarious. Talking about, you know, the Italian knockoffs of the End Zone series. And they wrote and directed, you know, Troll 2 and Shocking Dark and like tons of other awesome, crazy Italian movies. Night Killer, one of my favorite movies. And then we had Tim Dry from Extro do a little voice for us. And it was really, it was great to get to meet Tim.
And Tim came out for the world premiere. Yeah.
For the world premiere of Fright Fest in London. Cause he's living over there and he seemed to enjoy the movie too. It was really great to meet him. He was a really nice guy. So. Those are all the, you know,
and maybe a few more secret.
Maybe a few more coming soon. Yeah. But those are, you know, some of the talking head people in the movie. So these are the people who gave us their trust and participated in our crazy, you know, crazy adventure. You know, as far as I know, they're all happy with the outcome. I haven't heard any complaints.
Nobody's filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, all the ones that have seen it. I think some of them still have not seen the movie.
That's possible. Yeah. But they were all very nice to participate. They're all really wonderful people. We were scared to interview some of them because I'm like, are they gonna, you know, be, not that they'd be mean, but like,
right.
You know, whatever, but they were all super nice people.
No,
super.
You must have done a good job explaining what the project was because they were all like in on the joke, you know.
It was great. Yeah, I don't want to pat myself in the back, but it was a nice feeling that a lot of people were like, were willing to do it. I think honestly looking back, a lot of it was they liked me. But they also did really, all of them really got the idea once I explained it to them. And you can really see that in their performance.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
There were some people who didn't get it and they said no, which is fine.
That's fine.
But yeah.
We don't want people who don't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine.
That's
it honestly not the easiest idea to explain.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to pitch this thing to people and we're like, it's two movies and it's, you know.
You're going to talk about how much you love a movie that doesn't exist and you haven't seen.
Yeah. As yourself. I was surprised so many people did get it right away. I was like, oh yeah, you totally understand what I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, yeah. And in the comments, Jason Horton says, been a long road. Yeah. Jason's a great friend and supporter of ours. Sophia shot his movie Craving that's out now, so go check that out. He's about to endeavor on shooting a new movie called A Hard Place that I helped him on the script. I don't know what I haven't seen the final version, but I did some work on that. I'm excited to see how that movie turns out. That's going to be really cool. So thank you, Jason, for dropping by and always enjoy your work and your support. Appreciate it much. Michael Callio, is saying, looking forward to be able to buy the double disc Blu-ray or to the big double disc Blu-ray. We'll give you a copy, Michael. You don't have to buy it.
Michael's but in the movie.
He's in the movie. Yeah. he plays the son of the drive-in theater owners, because that's part of the whole storyline. It wasn't actually in the original script.
It was in one of Aaron's ideas.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, yeah, it was, maybe, yeah. Maybe it might have been, because he was like,
editor,
"Oh,
Aaron, the editor, was always suggesting B-roll I had to go get, and I was always really aggravated."
Because originally there was like one narrator that had a big portion of a lot of the dialogue that was, I think, works better because we couldn't find the really right person, and then it really went to several other people.
Joe Dante.
We tried to get Joe Dante to do it. And he very politely was like, I don't,
nice
I,
about saying
he was
no.
like, I don't think I'm good on camera. Like he just didn't want to, you know, like he didn't think he could do it.
Yeah.
But he was very polite. It was great.
But then we split that content into some horror experts.
Yeah. Which I think
horror experts.
And now I don't know. Maybe in my mind, I think it works better.
It does. Yeah, it does. So yeah. So we've got Jim Branscombe, who runs a screening series here and like a podcast called Cinematic Void. He's an awesome dude. We always go to his Cinematic Void screenings as much as possible. I love the stuff that he does. So he's in it.
He invented
in a section.
January Giallo, as far as I know.
Yes. What?
Did he invent January Giallo?
I think he might have invented January Giallo. And now it's he kind of helps.
Nationwide.
He helps host it at the Coolidge by you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. January so Giallo. That's in kind of in work with Cinematic Void from across
the
country.
Yeah. And, actually turns 90 in a couple of days here.
Oh, nice. Coolidge. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, he's great. He's in the movie as one of the experts. We have Heidi Honeycutt, who runs Etheria and wrote a book
The celluloid. Oh, God. I spit on your celluloid?
I spit on your celluloid. Yeah,
I
spit on your
title.
Celluloid. It's a history of women.
Yeah, women in horror.
In exploitation, horror film kind of thing. I think it's not out yet, but it's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And we're very psyched for that. Heidi is
awesome.
Heidi is amazing and awesome. And then we got Jared Rivet, who... is also definitely a horror expert. He, we partly know him from hosting horror trivia here in Los Angeles. One of the,
it's brutally hard,
difficult, most difficult trivia things I've ever done. But Jared's awesome. He also, he's an actor and a writer. He wrote on the Day of the Dead TV series, and he wrote on the Are You Afraid of the Dark miniseries that came out a couple years ago. And he wrote, some movies and stuff. He's a really...
So they come in to give the true history of it.
Yeah, so he's excellent. He does a wonderful job presenting. And we saw him the other day, and he was saying he was really psyched because he kind of narrates the animated section that our friend Josh Stifter did. And he was like, I didn't know how much I would be... Jared was like, I didn't know how much I'd be in the movie that I see it. I'm like, oh, I'm narrating this whole section. That's awesome. Like, so he was pretty happy about that. And, he did a great job. All three of them were really excellent. And I'm glad, like you said, we replaced that one kind of role with multiple people. Definitely works better.
I think it works more like an actual documentary with a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
Sergio,
thank you so much. Sergio is a fantastic editor and director. I believe he just directed his first feature, if I'm not incorrect about that. And that's coming out soon. So, I've seen some of his short stuff that he's done and some of the stuff he's edited. He's awesome editor, awesome creator. So yeah, a sequel. Oh, Michael Callio says a sequel. I don't know about a sequel yet, but if the money's there, we'll make it.
Yeah. I think probably I would assume a lot of that depends on, obviously the Blu-rays will be out, but how well they do and
forward from that. The more backers we get, the more
right. If you want a sequel, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want a sequel, that's this.
I have three other projects.
See this URL right here? Withoutyourhead.com.
No guarantees.
/ touchdown. Well, if you give us $1 million on that campaign, then we'll make a sequel.
Then I'll make whatever you want.
I'll make anything.
Enzo 3D. You hear that, Joe Castro?
No, we'd love to do more in this world, and we have some ideas about how to expand it. But I hate to be so kind of blunt about it, but ultimately it just comes down to the cost and financing and money. There's a lot of stuff we'd love to do. We generally are always having to pick what project we're going to do based on the financial structure of it and whether we can afford it and whether we are going to go into more debt than we already are in from these movies. So that's kind of how things go. But, is what it is.
Yeah.
Keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I do want to also thank Mad Monster for lending us, film all the scenes there, because it would have been impossible to like try to recreate a convention.
Yeah, we would never have even done the movie. I always kind of tell the story at Q&As, but like originally Neil and I were having a conversation. I sort of had this. He mentioned a story about some people that had a little feud. And I was like, oh, I've been thinking about this idea about doing a movie kind of set in a convention where there's like a feud between these two characters. And I was like, but I'm never going to make it because, you know, it's just too complicated.
Hundreds of extras.
Yeah, there's no way. And Neil was like, let me see if I can get some things in place for you and make a convention happen. And, Mad Monster agreed very generously to let us, do stuff with them to support us in that way. And so once we, we had Mad Monster in place and Neil agreed to help out with getting those Talking Head people, it was like, oh, well, I guess we better make a movie. Now we're obligated. Right?
Exactly. Will you take a post-dated third party out of state check?
Only if it's a starter check, like if it doesn't have an official.
Just don't write the amount.
Don't write the amount. A blank. Write it on somebody's account who has a lot of money.
So. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but no, we're
I guess like that is a good point though, because we did have an anonymous donor this is a very tough time of year. It's been a tough year for a lot of people with strikes in the industry and life, medical, whatever. You know, there's a lot of reasons why you don't have spare money laying around to like buy a Blu-ray, so we actually did have somebody reach out to us that said they would sponsor 8 people to get the digital download.
Digital download and a thanks in the movie.
Yeah. So we had a couple people reach out for those and then we decided to match that if there's enough interest. But yeah, so if you really, you don't need to explain your circumstances to us, we'll believe you, but if you really just don't have the money on hand and you want the digital download and the thanks, like we're happy to do that.
Yeah,
through this anonymous person.
Sophia asked me this morning. She's
I literally
like,
thought he made it up.
Yeah, she's like, did you just make that up? Or you were just pretending?
And
I'm like, no, it's a real, there's a real person.
I read his post before I read anything else. And I was like, is this a weird marketing?
I swear to you. I mean, it sounds like a good, nice marketing thing. Like, it's a nice thing to do.
A mysterious benefactor.
I swear on something holy. I don't know what's holy, but whatever. I swear that a person did reach out to me, a very nice person reached out and gave, put $200 toward sponsoring 8 people, and then we decided we would basically put the equivalent of $200 in as well to double
very
that.
Nice. Yeah.
If anybody,
Casper, it's awesome. Yeah.
So if anybody is cash strapped, but would like to be part of the film, would like to see the film, would like to have their name in the thanks credits, just reach out to us and let us know, and we will fill those slots and make that happen for you. And we understand. I said in my post, this is what sparked it, is I wrote a post that, because I know like a lot of times when you run crowdfunding campaigns, friends and family and people feel pressured to give. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understood, like nobody's obligated to give to us. Like I'm not like judging our friendship or anybody on whether they give or don't give. That's 100% up to them, what they're comfortable with. We very much appreciate contributions to the campaign, but nobody's obligated, and that's not a judgment on anybody. And then I think the person who gave the money thought like, oh yeah, that's nice, and I feel bad for those people as well. I'd like to contribute to this campaign, but I don't necessarily need any reward. So like something I could do is maybe sponsor.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I love that. That's really nice of them.
Yeah. We'll so just reach forward. Out to us. Yeah, reach out to us.
There's been a pay it forward, I guess, right?
Pay it forward. Like pay it forward. Yeah. It is exactly that. So anybody have questions? We're streaming, I know, live to a bunch of platforms. Ask us anything you like about the campaign, about the movies, about Neil's hat.
Oh yeah. Wait,
yeah. This is one of the used hats from the movie. Saint Michael's gave me this hat. So depending on the success, this might go on eBay.
Maybe.
Well, I was gonna say I have two more of those. I could add those as rewards.
They are screen used. They're screen used. Yeah,
Michael actually yelled at me yesterday because I make stupid posts all the time, and I was like, "Send me hats to wear on the show." And he's like, "You never wear the one I gave you." I said, "Wear it all the time."
You're not watching the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I will say too that like I do have some props and stuff that like as the campaign goes on, I'll be posting some props that you know if you're like really excited. For instance, if you've seen it, there's a whole bit I did with a stop motion Andy Warhol. I'm going to put up the little guy that I made for it. So stuff like that. I'm going to like dig through what we have and post some of that stuff. That's like, you know, prop limited edition screen used.
That's very fun.
So we'll be digging that stuff. And then I do love everybody's suggestions on other stuff. So, you know, it'd be fun to make some.
If you have suggestions, if there's stuff you want as perks in our crowdfunding campaign, reach out to us. You know, let us know now in the chat or send us in a message. Reach out. We're totally open to to create things. We've had people reach out with things that are not necessarily viable, and unfortunately, like the campaign is only for physical stuff. It's only available in certain countries, and it's just because of how the U.S. postal service is with mailing to certain places. And I've heard we've had so many complications in our past crowdfunding campaigns. And I've heard so many nightmare stories about like, 500 people from Australia backed my campaign and I can't afford, like the cost of shipping the stuff is like more than the backing. So in order to keep it somewhat controlled, we've kept it to limit it to countries where we know we can deal with shipping and everything. And I'm sorry about that. That's not ideal, but it's our sort of weird reality. So, I see Michael Callio saying congrats again. Thank you, Michael. Michael's a great filmmaker as well. So if you want to check out some stuff, he's got several movies that are available now. I think The Scout is the one most recently released.
With Anastasia Ullman in it also, right?
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Who is also in both ones in Future Smash and End Zone 2. And he's got a few other movies coming out soon. So keep an eye on his work. He's a great guy.
Some with us in them.
Some with us, one with us in them. Called the LA Christmas Story. Is that what it's called? LA Christmas Story.
Something like that.
LA Christmas Story.
So, we rage the war on Christmas in the movie. Yeah, so.
We do. We're soldiers in the war on Christmas.
Yeah. And you've won because Christmas is over.
It's over.
I know, and it didn't come out. So
we won for now, but I fear that it will be back next year.
Christmas always comes back. It's like it's like one of these slasher movies.
Yeah,
come back.
One of my favorite. I can't even remember her name, but years ago I saw a stand-up comic, and she said she's like the British invasion. Happened in the mid '60s, and when the Beatles came to the U.S. or whatever, I messed up the phrasing. But she's like, we've only managed to kill two of them so far. That was the joke. She was basically like, they're really winning because we've only managed to kill two of them. So far. Anyway, sorry.
That is good.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
Whoever,
victimless joke.
Whoever the poor comic of that was who told that joke, she's very funny and I don't remember. And I totally butchered it. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So how much longer? I know it's only been a few days, but how long does the campaign run?
We started on Michael's birthday, and I think we're ending it on Michael St. Michael's birthday.
Yeah.
We're trying to cut
it's from Michael to Michael. Yeah.
Michael to Michael. That was our idea. We're like, we'll go from Michael to Michael.
Which is, I think, the 31st, right? January
31st, I believe. Yeah. It's like a little too long to run a campaign, but it just felt right to do from Michael to Michael.
Yeah. I like it.
It's like Sea to Shining Sheep.
We'll try not to annoy everybody too much every single day, but we want to make sure that we've got new stuff coming. And
we want to share the journey as far as like the distro and everything. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, we're trying to be we're trying to be very transparent and really tell the story of like what it is to make an independent film, get an independent film out, deal with distributors, chasing down this kind of money for doing this stuff. This is like very boring, detail, but like most independent films don't get put out on Blu-ray at all. If they do, they get put out on kind of print-on-demand Blu-ray, which to me is like a very low-quality version of like, I know a lot of people do it. I get why they do it. I'm not, sorry, if you're a filmmaker who does print-on-demand Blu-ray, Well, not critical of you at all.
It's kind of the only option.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. But we really wanted to do an actual proper, like, Glass Master replicated Blu-ray, like a real, you know, like what you would get properly made, you know, in a store, a traditional, like, full-on.
I don't even ask all the guests. I used to just ask all the guests, you know, about the physical release. And I don't ask all the times because sometimes I can tell they're kind of like, I don't know. I could tell it's like a sore spot for a lot of people.
Well, it's a bummer that films don't get physical release.
Yeah. You know, and hopefully, like, you know, like horror has like kind of a niche audience that still wants some physical stuff, which is cool, you know, so there is some demand for it, but not enough to justify like 1,000 print, you know, 2,000 print runs. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people aren't doing it.
Yeah. You know? And we really only could do it, you know, with this campaign. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, again, other way around.
Well, honestly, though, if people out there really do want it, that's the way to get it, because after the campaign, you might not be able to get a Blu-ray. So,
yeah, not only that, but the campaign version will have a slipcover. So we're going to make these slipcovers.
It might be a little artsy.
Yeah, we're not sure yet. We're working on that. But we may actually physically, like, you know, go get stuff printed on cardstock and hand glue them and everything. But the slipcovers will only be available through the campaign. Once the campaign's over, even if there are Blu-rays for sale, they will not include that slipcover. So,
yeah. And since this is running from Michael to Michael, we might pop up with some more updates throughout the month. Maybe with some of the other people involved.
Yeah. We're definitely hoping that we'll get some, you know, get a chance to kind of have maybe you interview some of the cast and crew and whatever else and talk about.
I know a lot of people from End Zone 2 have always been wanting to talk about the movie too.
I know. Yeah, well, that'd be fun. Yeah. Under a gag order for four years. Yeah. So that'd be really great. Yeah.
But yeah, we wanted to kind of get things started with this like initial, you know, opportunity for people to ask questions, kind of get to talk about it. And this is a live stream, you know, thing. And we thank you all for listening and participating in it. But this will also be archived and available, you know, after, so people can watch it and get some answers.
If people follow me, they know I live in a small town and I post like stupid little stories from my town, and they're all true. But I have people that I told them, you know, I made this movie, and they'll ask me all the time. And then after a while, I think they've just thought like, oh, he just made that up. Like, he didn't really.
They stopped asking.
Yeah, you know, one guy at the convenience store is like, oh, what about that movie, buddy? And
should just go around town one day with like 20 Blu-rays and give them to all the merchants.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people don't understand how long it takes and how hard it is to get.
And definitely this one was a little bit more delayed than we ever intended it to be by at least a couple of years. but it's not abnormally long.
No.
You know?
I mean, COVID delayed it for sure for a couple of years. Then, you know, the strikes actually delayed us a little bit too. Like we couldn't put it out last year. So, you know, this is kind of where we are. We have another question here, I guess. We'd love to hear about this side. If a DVD Blu-ray is made, is the digital master permanently saved in the Michael J. Epstein Memorial Library of Congress? if a DVD or Blu-ray is made, we will also release a digital download of it. We personally will hold on to the digital master, the highest quality version. That won't be available. Nobody else will have a copy of that because it's just too large to distribute. Library of Congress has the movie on file, but in case anybody's not filed copyright before, so, you know, we have copyrights filed for these movies. In case anybody's not filed copyrights before, they ask you to submit a very low quality version. So it's not an archival version at all. With Library of Congress.
It's like a 2 gig version or something.
Oh, not even. It's like a 240p, like, you know, it's just so you can look at it and be like, yes, this is the content of the thing. Mm-hmm. And a funny story about Library of Congress.
this is stupid. All right. This is actually funny.
It's a funny story. I tried to file the End Zone 2 movie, and I wrote an explanation. And they're like, what is this movie? How the names on it aren't your name. It says 1970. You can't just file a copyright for like a movie from 1970 that you weren't involved in. And I'm like, no, it's all pseudonyms. It's like, this is me. I'm the one. and like it's made in 2022. That is the copyright date, whatever. And then they're like, it can't say copyright 1970 on it, which maybe is true. So I had to make a special version of the movie.
Just for them.
Just for Library of Congress.
They don't know it's just for them.
Just for Library of Congress, where the copyright information is different.
Yeah.
And so it's on file, like with Library of Congress, with a 2022 copyright, 2021 maybe, I don't know, copyright. And the rest of the versions will not say that.
Now people are going to ask for the Library of Congress edition.
I know. Yeah, the rare edition.
One gigabyte version with the copyright.
Yeah. So Nicholas Hunt is saying thanks. Thank you, Nicholas, for you and Christine for being part of the movie. They're in a scene in the movie that's very funny.
They're in a convention scene.
It's so funny. Because at the convention, I mean,
we were grabbing people and be like, "Here's your scene. Go learn these lines in 5 minutes, and then be ready." And they nailed it. It was awesome.
Yeah. So we kind of were casting people on the spot because we couldn't fly people. We shot the movie in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We couldn't. We flew Michael and Bill. We flew out. AJ, we flew out. Neil, you were there. The two of us, and then camera operator Matt Stewart, who's also a great filmmaker, and then Jason Minton and Jeff Ball kind of came out to help and support and act in it in small roles. Mm-hmm. But other than that, everybody was kind of like grabbed on the spot, more or less. Yeah. Like, and we sent you around. We're like, we need three kids. We need to see you with three kids.
Yeah, we need people to be the fan club.
Yeah, we need all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and I think AJ helped a bit. What just kind of went around and like went to people. Well, you had some people you knew there, like James Balsamo you knew. Yeah. And some others you knew.
Yeah, Will Bozar.
Yeah.
Joe Ripple.
They kind of came along and did parts.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was like going up to strangers and being like, "Hey, do you want to be in a movie?" Yeah,
like very producery. What a Hollywood producer role of yours.
Right.
Just going up to kids and be like, "I want to be in a movie, kids."
Yeah, the kids is the most weird. Story. Right?
Like AJ was like saying how you had to do that with you. He felt so creepy going up to parents and being "Would your kid want to be in a movie?"
Right. And we're in a horror movie convention, so like, is it like is it just part of some movie that we're promoting, or are we actually making a movie? Or
did the kids all say yes? Did you have to ask more than three kids, or they all said yes?
I honestly think all the kids were into it.
I think they all said yes. Yeah, because I think they were like, "Cool, I get to do it."
Can you imagine all those little kids are 4 years older now?
I know.
Oh my god, I just didn't even think about that.
Interesting, because 4 years,
I would say they were probably, maybe the one kid was like 11 or 12, but everybody seemed younger.
The girl must have been like
6, 8. I don't know, young.
I think
so it might be like teenagers now.
I think maybe, if I had to guess, I would say 8, 10, and 12 were the three young kids.
They're old enough.
I was just saying, now they're old enough to see the movie, but if they're at a horror convention, they've probably been all right anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure they've seen worse.
The censored version of the movie.
The one little girl was dressed up as like,
I didn't even think of that, but true. I remember Bill Moseley kept coming over and just wondering what was going on. And I've talked to him since then, and he told me he wants to be surprised by everything that's happening.
Oh, okay.
To see what it was.
I thought he might end up in the background. Because some of the people at the convention, it's like they're not in the movie, but they're like, you can kind of see them in a moment deep. Mm-hmm. Like if your eyes are really sharp and you're like circling every person, like Eddie Furlong walks by in the background, like he's not really in the movie, but like, you know, you can.
His table was not far from our
He
table.
Was not far away. So it's like, there he is. But it was fun shooting at the convention. It was really hard. It was very stressful.
Yeah, it's really hard to stay out of other people's way because not only people are, you know, the traffic going around to the vendors, but we didn't want to be like in the there's two vendors, especially James Balsamo and Chris Ott, and we got the camera and stuff, and you don't want to be like blocking, you know, their table so people can't go buy their shirts and movies.
I'm sure we annoyed the hell out of them.
Yeah, they were very nice to us.
And the guy next to us, the artist next to us, I don't remember his name right now, but he was very kind to us too. He's thanked in the thing for sure.
He's signed a release. He's like a credited person in the movie. Yeah.
I can tell by the third day, James was very annoyed.
Yeah, James was annoyed, but he's got two roles in the movie. He came to the premiere. He must have forgiven us. He must have forgiven us by now. Yeah. But yeah, we were definitely in his way, and I feel bad about it. But he was very good. He was very nice to us about it.
Oh, I have to make him two cards now. I think about it.
Yeah. Yep.
He's got dual cards.
He does. He does.
Living large. Yeah.
So if you want, Neil, why don't you pop up one of those cards again? And if you're a person tuning in now, or you've been listening only recently, we're mostly talking about our Kickstarter campaign. The URL for that Kickstarter campaign is at the bottom of the screen once this card disappears. that URL will take you to our Kickstarter campaign. We're trying to raise money to pay for the physical media release and for covering the deferred costs and the budget of the movie. We were very happy to reach our initial goal in the first 2 days, which is awesome. And now we're just continuing on to try to cover some of those additional costs. We've got great rewards and options for you. Some of those expire. We have a reward where you can be part of a crowd. If you didn't get to act in the movie, but you want to have a credit and be kind of in a scene, you get to do some voice work in a crowd scene that we need some voice work replaced on. That perk is available, and it goes up in price every day until it reaches a maximum in 2 days, I think. And check that out. If you're looking, check that out now, I would say. We also have a couple of producer credit perks that are going to be at the lowest price they are for the next 3 or 4 days, and then they go up in cost as well. Let us know if you have questions. We're here to answer questions, to talk about the campaign, talk about anything related to the movies. Thank you all for checking in. I know people are kind of popping in and out, so we have different people listening at different times. But we're happy to answer anything. We appreciate your comments. Any comments you leave on any platform, I think we should be able to see while we're streaming.
Yeah.
Yep. So let us know what you're up to. And otherwise, I've talked a lot. Well, this is a great question from Sergio.
Oh.
I love this question.
Ooh, yes.
Let me pop it up.
I'm building up anticipation here.
All right.
Not sure
if you mentioned this, but will both films have commentary tracks?
Yes.
And the answer
Do you want to answer? Do you want to talk
sure.
about it?
Yeah, well, Neil, Michael, and I did commentary tracks for End Zone 2. And then we also did one for the Once in the Future Smash. And then Michael St. Michaels, Bill Whedon, and AJ Cutler did a commentary track as well for the Once in the Future Smash.
Yes.
And for End Zone 2 for the Blu-ray, I am collecting interviews with all the cast members from End Zone 2. And I'm going to cut together a little, probably short doc, maybe like an hour documentary.
I don't know if it's that short, but
yeah. Maybe not quite feature length documentary, using some of Neil shot behind the scenes footage the whole time we shot End Zone 2, which I'm very excited to finally look at. And now the
next year, I looked at some, there's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think if I had looked at it like initially, I would have been like, traumatized. But now enough time has passed, I'm excited to dive into that. So I'll cut that little documentary together, and that will be on the End Zone 2 Blu-ray. Eventually we'll put that out as well, probably. But I think the commentary tracks, that's gonna be like the only way to get it for
I don't know if the commentary tracks will be released except for the Blu-rays, but they'll be on the Blu-ray. So we have one producer director on End Zone, and then producer director on Once in Future Smash, as well as the three principal cast doing their own on Once in Future Smash. You mentioned the End Zone 2 mini doc or the featurette on that. Mm-hmm. And then on the Once in Future Smash Blu-ray, we will have a bunch of deleted scenes because
we have a lot of tons of stuff thrown to
the floor. We may have a mini doc on the music of End Zone. I'm not sure yet. We have a lot of material.
That was one of the questions, like a section of the Once in Future Smash that Aaron had cut together was about the music and the folk songs and the score to End Zone 2 and stuff. And we just ended up taking it out of the doc because it just felt like it was just like a wayward, like an aside tangential, thing. But it was like 15 minutes, and it was good. It was interesting, but it was just like too far off of what the rest of the movie. And the movie already has so many tangents. It goes down so many rabbit holes. So that will be really cool to include.
Yeah, I think that will probably end we're not sure of the final contents, but I think that will probably be on it. And then we also have shot some interviews with cast.
Oh yeah, we did. We shot some interviews with Michael St. Michaels and Bill Whedon about their experience and AJ as well. And then all of the celebrity talking heads, there were a lot of lines and things we didn't use in the film. So we might cut together a few of those. We had written along with Neil, we'd written a lot of lines like referencing their work and lot of funny stuff that just didn't find a place in the film. So
yeah,
I think maybe that would be fun for people too, you know? So we have so, like, more so than any film we've done previously, we have so much bonus material.
Way too much bonus
material. Yeah, which was also another reason why we were really wanting to do a physical release, you know, just give it all like one home.
Yeah, for, you know, because I know some of that stuff that's cut out, and I would like to, you know, at least know it's somewhere that
people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of it's good. It's yeah, just, yeah. It's just the flow of the movie is the flow sure. of the movie, right? So yeah. things, you know, you don't necessarily work. Like, I mentioned Jason Minton before. He has a whole scene with Bill that's I think is nice, but it just didn't. It like made the flow feel like kind of stuttery in that part. Like it didn't work in the flow of the movie. Mm-hmm. But I hate to lose the scene totally. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, yeah.
But now it'll have a home.
Now it'll have a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello from Jamie Hill from Skinamarink.
Hello, Jamie Hill. Thanks for checking it out.
Yeah. Voice actor Jamie Hill.
So I know. Yeah.
One of the.
Yeah, we have we do have those voice perks going on right now. Anybody, if anybody has questions about our campaign or wants to reach out, or you know, feel free to email us or. I mean, comment now as well. We're trying to answer yeah. questions.
And like I said, we'll do some more updates during this month.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be around
be on live again. I'm
yeah,
sure.
we'll make sure that we get some more info out there. We just wanted to do kind of a big like.
Well, thank you to everybody that already contributed because
yeah,
it's amazing. There's days.
Yeah, it was huge. I remember I woke up was over 1,000, and then in a day and a half it was you know over the 10 grand. So
yeah, yeah. What did you expect? How long did you expect it to take? What was your?
I hoped it would, you know, it would get, but I didn't think it would be like in a day and a half. I figured probably like a couple weeks, honestly.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
usually when I watch these, the first couple of days they do really well. Then it kind of tapers out for a while, and then maybe something happens where people start, you know, again. But I didn't expect that quick.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
always the trick is like the beginning is always strong and you want to make sure that beginning is strong.
And that's why we wanted to set, you know, because we like the all or nothing campaigns because truly we could not manufacture the Blu-rays without a minimum goal. And that was 10,000. So we just like priced it, you know, at that and then, you know, hope that we go above that. But at least this way we know we can do what we
have. Yeah. Otherwise you have a certain amount and you have to still make them because people bought them. But then like, you know, an additional 6 grand or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We just couldn't do it really otherwise. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, we really believe in full funding campaigns, not partial funding. I'm really a big fan of Kickstarter over like Indiegogo or other things. It doesn't have as many features, but it feels more honest to me in a lot of ways. Like it feels more like they limit the features because they don't like people doing kind of like shadier things. And so they're like, this is how it works. We can't even really get full backer reports until the campaign's over because the people who have contributed now aren't really like officially backers yet until the thing ends. So.
And if you're joining now, I mentioned earlier, but just because we hit the goal, doesn't mean we're all set because there's still a lot of expenses. So
for sure. Please, you can watch the video in our Kickstarter campaign, and you can read the story. Yeah. We wrote quite an extent. I know it's a lot, you know, to ask people to read read 10 pages of stuff or even watch a 3-minute video, but we do explain, you know, more about what the campaign is and how it's you know what the structure is.
It's the beginning of our distribution plan.
It's the beginning of our distribution plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we need to make like $70,000.
Pay back those investors, Visa and MasterCard.
Visa and MasterCard. Yes. Yeah. It's actually right now one of the big investors is government COVID loans.
Yeah, we do have to pay that back
because we owe.
I wanted them to forgive it. They forgave it for like the NFL.
For different kind of loans. We did not get a forgivable loan.
Little old me, I've
got to
give it back.
Yeah. But we thought the movie would come out in 2020 or 2021. And so we're like, okay, we can front this money now and float it for like, you know, 9 months and then be able to pay it back. And that's fine. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, not only can we not like pay this money back, but we have no income, like we have no jobs or anything. So it was very challenging. So I'm grateful that there was a government COVID loan program, but now we are paying back government COVID loans. So
we'll do more updates and it'll be fun to have some more people on the show, you know, from the movies. I know the actresses from End Zone 2 were been really wanting to talk about, so that'll be fun to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in and checking it out.
And I don't think AJ's ever been on the show in any form.
Oh, wow. Gotta get AJ on.
Okay, he's a slippery fish sometimes. Yeah, yeah. You gotta catch him in your hands. I don't know if he'll like that description. No.
AJ's fantastic.
Yeah, AJ's great.
Yeah. Thanks for setting this up.
Of course,
Neil.
Yeah, this would be great. It's good to talk with both of you again.
Yeah, and we'll say farewell to everybody for now. And again, check out the campaign. URL is on the bottom there, withoutyourhead.com/touchdown. And we hope to see you in the crowdfunding universe.
Yeah, yeah. So help out if you can, and share it. That always helps.
That's always
sharing is great. And once again, as Sophia mentioned, just last thing. If you're a person who cannot afford to contribute to the campaign, but you would love to be part of it, like you wish you could, but you just don't have money or whatever your circumstances are, we've got maybe 15, 14 slots left where we had a sponsor come in and offer to cover people's $25 basically contributions, where you'll get a credit in the movie and access to the digital file. And, you know, we'll consider you a regular backer at that point, sponsored by a very nice anonymous donor. So,
yeah,
reach out and let us know if you need that.
Yeah. And as an added bonus, you will get a virtual collectible card here.
Yep.
You just you have to reply to an email with a picture of yourself and a name you would like to use. I don't care what name it is, whatever. It doesn't have to be a real name. Doesn't have to be a real picture, I guess. So. Yeah.
Could be AI. AI
right. Yeah, whatever. It's why fine. Yeah.
You're not picky about it.
Yeah. No, but it's fun. And then people don't know that's it's the design is based off the 1970 NFL trading card, and I picked that one because that is the year that End Zone 2.
Oh yes. All right. Well, thanks everyone. Cool. Hope everybody has a great rest of the day.
Yeah. Talk to you. And you guys have fun at the thing. I'm kind of
jealous. Yes, thank you. The thing. Yeah. The thing.
All right. Bye, everybody. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I'll just wave awkwardly while I hit end.